You're listening to On Point Talk with Carlette Christmas,
the bigger show, and
the official OPT Network. Our goal is to encourage, uplift, and enlighten you, one conversation at a time.
Part of the minimally invasive image-guided specialist healthcare vision is to make sure our patients receive the best service possible. MIGS doctors are dedicated to performing interventional radiology procedures, concentrating on a patient-centered service that focuses on performing procedures in the shortest amount of time possible. Interventional radiology is a selection of advanced techniques that use imaging equipment to treat a variety of illnesses. Interventional radiologists are physicians who specialize in these minimally invasive, targeted treatments. Minimally invasive image-guided specialist, MIGS, is at 3704 North Boulevard, Alexandria. Call 318-445-9700.
MIGS is another proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
Minimally invasive image-guided specialist MIGS treat varicose veins that affect 1 out of 2 people age 50 and older and nearly 25% of all adults. Varicose veins are uncomfortable and unattractive. Symptoms include nighttime leg pain, skin discoloration, skin wounds, and irritation. These symptoms are most common in women ages 30 to 70, and treatments usually consist of a painful surgical procedure called vein stripping. MIGS patients can now take advantage of a new minimally invasive procedure that usually takes 30 to 45 minutes. Because it's minimally invasive and requires no large incisions, patients can usually be back at work the following day. For more information, contact MIGS at 445-9700. MIGS is a proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
Wood Forest Bank is a community bank built upon the needs of the customers they serve. Wood Forest Bank is committed to earning customer loyalty by offering the highest level of customer service, as well as competitive products and services by employees who are fair, responsive, and professional. Wood Forest Bank, another proud underwriting sponsor for On Point Talk, the official OPT Network.
Sylvia's Caring Companions provides personal care and physical assistance to help individuals remain in their homes safe, secure, and comfortable. The care Sylvia's provides is tailor-based on each individual person. Our compassionate staff are warm, friendly, concerned caregivers who offer daily assistance for those who require care of all ages. We provide peace of mind for families who depend on our competent staff. Let Sylvia's Caring Companions healthcare services make a difference in your lives. Here to help you and your loved ones in times of need. People care by caring people.
Sylvia's is owned by CEO Darlene St. Romain. For more information, phone 318-346-2540.
Sylvia's Caring Companion is a proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica. Jerry Newman with a policy question.
Jerry, how are you doing?
Fine. I just got a little fender bender.
Oh, Jerry, I'm so sorry.
I would love to help, but remember you dropped us last month.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It only took 15 minutes to sign up with that new auto insurance company, but it's taken a lot longer to hear back.
Is your car up a pole again?
I miss you, Jessica.
Jerry, are you crying?
No, I bit my tongue.
Get to a better state. State Farm.
Your on-point good neighbor State Farm agent in Alexandria is Rosa Fields, 318-487-1881 or 4304 South MacArthur Drive. Your on-point good neighbor State Farm agent in Avoyelles Parish is Kyle Wolf, 318-346-6695 or 1109 Shirley Road in Bunkie.
I'm worried about Tim.
What's wrong?
He's out of work, we don't have health insurance, and he needs to go to the doctor, but it costs too much.
Krista Scabrini Hospital opened the Incarnate Word Community Clinic just across the street from the hospital.
Really?
Yeah, it has a primary care and a specialty clinic, too. Mary went and got great care. She doesn't have insurance either.
I'm calling right now.
Incarnate Word Community Clinic on Masonic Drive. Uninsured patients and those covered by Medicaid or Medicare welcome. Call 448-6800 for an appointment.
Cabrini Hospital is a proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
They built our country, fought wars to defend our freedom. They've been called our greatest generation. Now in this land of plenty they helped to create, many senior citizens in America go hungry. Sometimes they must choose between medicine, rent, or food. It's a choice they shouldn't have to make. The Food Bank of Central Louisiana's Adopt-A-Senior program serves more than 2,200 seniors. You can sponsor a senior for only $150 per year. Call the Food Bank or visit fbcinlaw.org. Together we can end hunger.
On Sunday mornings, you can experience the transformational power of God's Word as Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church serves God and the community. Become one with God and God's Word at Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church, located at 736 Ducote Lane in Cottonport, Louisiana, under the leadership of Reverend Chris Augustine Sr. Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church, where services are held every Sunday morning.
It started out like a totally normal day.
I love you.
I mean, I guess I was a little sweaty, and I was definitely sore. I thought I had gas. Turns out, I was having a heart attack. Heart disease is the number one killer of American women. So now I take care of myself and tell the other women in my life to do the same. Make it your mission to save your life and the lives of the women you love. Find out more from the American Heart Association at goredforwomen.org.
On Point Talk is a proud sponsor of Go Red for Women and the Central Louisiana American Heart Association.
You're listening to On Point Talk with Carlette Christmas,
the bigger show, and
the official OPT Network. Our goal is to encourage, uplift, and enlighten you, one conversation at a time.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome. I'm Carlette Christmas. That's David Christmas. And if you're listening, you're on point. This is
the official
OPT Network. The what show?
The bigger network.
And our website, of course, for the bigger network is www. That's www. .onpointcxmas.com. Go to our website, click on, and listen live. It doesn't matter what part of the country you're in. On this, oh yeah, Friday morning, the rain seems like it's lifted. And you know, yesterday, DC, as we went through the day, you know, we started yesterday morning, we all did, a rainy, wet morning. And then as the day progressed, I said to myself, you know what I love about the rain? Because when you are looking for what's good in anything, you can absolutely find it. So I said to myself as we were, because yesterday was a long day for us. We went from can to can.
Long day.
And I said to myself as the day progressed, I said, you know what? When you look for the good, you will find it. See, we don't like to see the rain coming, but I said, there's something so powerful about the rain. The storm can't last forever. When the rain lifts, the sun will shine. And yesterday ended up being an absolute beautiful, beautiful day, wasn't it? Despite the rain, I mean, it just shaped up to be a beautiful day. So if you started your morning all negged out with absolutely no momentum, you know, I'm saying just wait a while. Just wait a while. Wait on it. Wait. And it's going to change. Yeah. The weather was absolutely beautiful. And, you know, although it was a long day, it was a really great day. And, of course, today is Friday. It is the day that everybody who has weekends off, you just love to love Friday. No matter what the weather looks like, no matter what's going on, everybody can agree that it's Friday. It's the weekend. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're just getting your morning started and you're traveling in, headed to work, there are no school buses, there are no school zones, although many of the school zones are still flashing. I don't know if that's about summer school, you know, getting ready to crank up, or if it's just a reminder that we need to remain slow in those areas. And so that means that travel is good. Now, this is what did happen this morning. It was fine as we left Cheneyville, but then as we got closer to LeCount, D.C., it got really, really foggy.
Yeah, the fog dropped low.
Yeah, the fog dropped, and it was really dense fog, and you really couldn't see. And then you drove maybe about 8 or 10 miles, and it was clear. And then as you got a little bit closer into the city, the fog dropped again. So for those people that are traveling on interstates and highways this morning, we want to remind you to make sure that you are watching out for yourself as well as others. And every time I see a novice driver, I think of our novice drivers. And yesterday I was driving around as we were working, and I have a greater humility for all of those on the road. And all it takes is putting your own on the road. It gives you a sense of patience. So make sure that you have patience as you're traveling in this morning. And as always, we say, on time is late, and early is what we were this morning. On time, early is on time. So give yourself enough time to get there safely and carefully, watching out for yourself as well as others. And this is what I noticed yesterday as well in the Twin Cities, in Alexandria specifically. The traffic circle, D.C., the wrecks, we stopped seeing as many, but it seems like now we're seeing, you know, more wrecks happening in the south traffic circle. And I think it's just a matter of people not really wanting to yield. Yesterday, someone pulled right out in front of us, did not yield. And a lot of people that are coming from around the circle just are expecting you to yield. So that means that we all have to be patient. We've got to be careful. We've got to watch out for ourselves and others. Lots of pedestrian traffic, lots of kids. I don't understand why kids love standing in the streets and walking in the streets, D.C. What is up with that? Did we do that?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's almost like sidewalks just, they don't work for young people. They just would rather the streets. So please be careful for that pedestrian traffic. Know that kids are out of school. They're having a good time. They are enjoying. And it's up to us to stay engaged and stay off. Stay off of those mobile devices. And yesterday as I was driving, I made sure that I made a good effort to put my cell phone down and make sure that I was watching out for everything around me. And you know, as you're teaching a young person to drive, it's like you're remembering all of the lessons of the road that you get. So in our house, we call it biggity. We call it biggity. And so, you know, once you feel like you have it, then you feel like, oh, that rule isn't yeah. as effective, you know. So please make sure that you're following all of the rules of the road.
Man, Carlette, I just got a text here from Kenny. I don't really know what you're saying here, Kenny. Kenny Higgins.
Is he talking about fishing?
I don't know if he's talking about fishing or what, but, you know, people are booting up to go fishing. I know Brother LaVeda Boyd called me. He's mm-hmm. going out there and get him today. I'm going to try to get out there a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
See if I can rustle up some of those brim. But I know, Kenny, I don't know what this message is, Kenny. You're going to have to resend it, brother.
But, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, about fishing and still asking for fish. And I was saying to someone yesterday that you literally have cleaned out the freezer with fish. You've given it all away.
Oh, I just give it away. I just love catching them. I do it for the love of the game.
So
I
you
eat them as you would think.
I know.
You know, I eat them some, Carlette, but I don't eat them as much as you think I would to say that I catch so many.
As much as you love, as much as you really love food, we just don't eat that much fish.
Absolutely.
Do you think we burn out on it, or?
No, I don't think we're burnt out on it. I mean, it's work, you know, preparing the fish, you know, cooking it and all of that stuff. And, you know, that's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it's clean and ready to go when I give it to people.
But I tell you what, Fanny Silks and Scents says that when, and I'm gonna put that to the test. She said, now we had stopped frying fish in the house.
Yeah, we got some.
We got this big old black iron, cast iron.
And we've got electric fryer. That
pot. And we started using it outside simply because of the smell in the house when you fry fish. But Fanny says that when
Kenny
use...
Oh, Kenny said he was just saying good morning.
Well, good morning.
Crab, Kenny, that's Kenny Egan. Y'all know him.
Right? DC gives every single person a nickname.
That's my boy.
You have called Kenny Crime Dog for years.
Yeah, I don't even know why I called him that.
You will dub somebody with a nickname in a minute. While we're saying good morning and giving shout-outs, let's give a shout-out to Mimi Reed.
You going
to
hit Mimi Reed again?
I'm going to hit Mimi Reed again, and this is why. Mimi said, Carlette, I didn't hear my shout-out because a tree fell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, fell on the glass, the windshield of my car. She said it was an old tree, with all of the weather. And she said, I was taking my car in to have the glass repaired.
Yeah.
She said, and golly, I missed my shout-out.
Surely did.
So I
it was
said
a good shout out too, Mimi. You missed it. A good shout out it was. Mimi Reed. Come on down. You're the next contestant.
On the official
OPT Network.
Hey, Mimi, thank you so much for being a part of the OPT Network. I'm gonna tell you, this morning I'm feeling a little bit sinusy, and you might be able to hear it. I'm hearing a little nasally. I don't know if you guys noticed yesterday, but in the air, there was like these things. I guess it might have been ragweed, but it was just flying around in the air. And you just know that pollen is going to drop. With all of the rain, you think, okay, it'll wash it away. But I don't know. I think that might tend to make it do something a little bit different. But I'm going to tell you, we're excited. We had a great week. And we have got some great things. We have some great things planned.
Yeah.
And DC, let's just take this opportunity as we're giving shout outs to really just thank everybody who called us up, who text messaged us on yesterday about Dr. Maya Angelou.
Yes.
And the interview that we had with her.
Well, Carlette, I didn't know that many people in this area were that in tune with Dr. Maya Angelou.
I didn't either.
Really, I mean, we were, and we, you know, she inspired us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we had the conversation with her, she talked with us. We were shocked at how long she just sat around and talked to us,
mm-hmm.
and the kind of inspiration that we got from her,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to pass it on to others. And, you know, a lot of people had told us that they enjoyed the interview, but yesterday,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting the personal touch from her as, you know, they did from her speaking directly to
mm-hmm.
Central Louisiana through the OPT
mm-hmm.
network. I think people really felt a sense of gratitude from knowing that in some sort of way that they were touched by Dr. Maya Angelou.
And that we were connected. I mean, many people may not know that her formative years with her grandmother were in Stamps, Arkansas, mm-hmm. right up mm-hmm. the road in Arkansas. So she was a Southern girl for, you know, the first part of her life. And, you know, as I was reflecting on the interview, and I was saying to you yesterday that I felt really full, just as I had when we spoke to her, because it had taken so long, so many years,
for that manifestation to happen. And I don't know if I did or if we did or not really encourage people to never give up when God has shown you a thing. You see, what will happen is you'll see a thing and you'll think that that thing is going to happen next week, next month, 6 months, next year. But when God shows you a thing and you know that you saw it and you got it in your spirit, the thing about it is you never know when it will manifest. And when the manifestation, and DC says this all the time, even when Mrs. Obama, we are working on her coming back as well. We've gotten, our team has gotten some correspondence from the First Lady's press secretary about some things that she's going to be doing. But when you see those manifestations, DC said to me, he said, "I'm not surprised." I mean, you calmly said, "I don't know why you're surprised." Why you're surprised?
No, I'm not surprised.
But and I wasn't surprised, but I was just overjoyed.
Right.
And then as we, you know, sat back and remembered that time and that place that we were in, we really, really reflected on the personal advice and wisdom and courage that she gave us to move into the next realm, to move to the next level. And she shared some things with us personally about our business and about our mantra and what we are doing that we will never, ever forget. And one day, you know, when the manifestation of the next thing happens, we will share.
Absolutely, because she did some prophesying into what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, man, I'm going to tell you, Carlette, that's a lot. You know, I mean, you know, I believe Dr. Maya Angelou.
I do, too.
When she says something to me, you know.
I know.
You know, I believe her.
And it's those years of wisdom. It's where she had been. And the life that she had lived and seen and so well traveled and so well versed.
Right.
And you really understood. And what she really appreciated from us is that this interview was about her.
Mm-hmm.
It was about her. It was about her life. It wasn't about, you know, social climbing. It was about genuinely her work and her legacy and the impartation that she has made on the world. And so, you know, I was thinking at 86 years old, you think, wow, what a good life. But as you get into your 40s, as I said before, it doesn't seem like it's just that old. And when we were little kids, you felt like 86 was really ancient. But what we are most pleased with for her life, and as she talked to us, is that she didn't get to a point where she couldn't care for herself, where she was suffering. And, you know, she lay down, went to sleep in the Lord, and we believe that those who die in the Lord will see the Lord. So thank
Absolutely.
You all. Thank you guys all again for that encouragement.
Man, I'm going to tell you, that's good, Carlette. And I think, you know what has been hitting me here lately, Carlette?
Hmm.
And I just wanted to say this before we move on
what?
To the next thing, to the next interview, is we're going to be talking a lot about credibility. You know, and, you know, we would like to ask the audience to pay really close attention to what we're talking about in dealing with people and the credibility that people have or that they should have or where you allow them in your life. You know, just pay really close attention to that. We're going to be dealing with some things like that in the future here.
And it's even bigger than that. Mm-hmm. When you talk about credibility or the lack thereof.
Right.
That means that the people that you allow to speak into your life,
yes,
whether on a daily basis, whether a few times a week, or whenever, you really, really need to understand and really, really know that you know that you know that there is a credibility factor that is credible. Because many times there is no credibility.
Right. It's a lot of deceit.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, DC, I feel good. You look good. How are you feeling?
I feel wonderful. It's about to go down on the OPT. Well, we got some big things getting ready to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Some big stuff getting ready to go down. I wish I could tell y'all.
You know what? I feel like a kid at Christmas.
Listening to copy.
I feel like a kid at Christmas, and I just want to unwrap the package.
Here. Steal it from you. Like the Grinch that stole.
But you know, when people steal, from you,
I want a copy. I want to be like you.
Isn't that the highest form of flattery?
Isn't that what they say? Not from a weasel. Weasels, I mean, you know, you basically, it's not, they're not copying because they really see that, the appreciate what you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's thievery, is what that is. What that says is I'm not going to acknowledge, you know, what I try to do is take your work and use it as my own. Mm-hmm. Plagiarism is one of those. That's done a lot.
People
really don't really understand
that,
you know. It's a lot of plagiarizing going on right here on this station.
Mm-hmm. And a reporter from CNN was just simply fired for plagiarism. Yeah. That means what that means. And, you know, when you were in school and you got your kids, that means that you can't use other people's stuff without acknowledging that it's other people's stuff.
Other people's work. So if I came on here and read a whole bunch of stuff like I actually wrote that,
mm-hmm.
and then occasionally I'll say according to this, but occasionally really insinuating to you that, look, this is all my great work. Look at what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I plagiarize. That's what I do.
I tell you what. Well, moving on.
License train, though.
You know what? It's a great morning.
A license train.
I think this.
License train.
D.C.
When was the last time you heard somebody say they was license train?
I don't know.
Like when we came around, that cease and desist.
I don't know. Be good. Be good, y'all. I'm
digging this area.
I am stretching my hands out to him. I am stretching my hands out to him right now. I'm laying hands right now.
I receive
in the name of Jesus.
I receive that because I'm really not talking about anybody.
No, I'm going to tell you what a great game last night with the Spurs and the Thunder. We're going to talk about that a little bit later.
That's a whole nother deal.
But let me tell people what's coming up. Y'all, it is Friday. It feels good. We hope that you have continued momentum, not only from Monday, but you continue with your momentum all the way into the weekend. Sarah Jakes is our guest this morning. Her book, Lost and Found, Finding Hope in the Detours of Life. That's T.D. Jakes' daughter. T.D. Jakes wrote the foreword for Sarah's book. It is an incredible book, and it's an incredible interview. And we will also have her dad, Bishop Jakes, talking about his new book, Instinct. So these are conversations you got to stay on point for.
Bigger Show.
Oh, my goodness. Yo, it's 7:58 already local time.
What's the bigger show?
8:58 Eastern. Minimally Invasive Image Guided Specialist, also known as MIGS. Making patients better, faster, is our top priority. Stop at 3704 Medical Plaza Boulevard is the address. 318-445-9700. Hickson Automotive Group, Alexandria, Leesville, and Monroe. Their website, www.hicksonhasit.com. You see how I just have to, you know, I have to have that temperament. David Christmas is, we are yin and yang, which is which, I don't know, but it's all good. Get to a better state with your State Farm agent, Rosa Fields. Hurricane season, it's here. It's approaching. Make sure that you have your home, auto, and life insurance on point with State Farm agent Rosa Fields. Here's the number, 318-487-1881. We better get a break before we get in trouble. You're on point, everybody. The official OPT Network.
Listening to On Point Talk with Carlette Christmas,
the bigger show, and
the official OPT Network. Our goal is to encourage, uplift, and enlighten you one conversation at a time.
HicksandHasIt.com. HicksandHasIt.com. Click on to shop hundreds of new and smart buy pre-owned vehicles. HicksandHasIt.com has Toyotas, BMWs, Mazdas, Fords, Lincolns, plus every make and model to choose. Click on HicksandHasIt.com 24/7, 365 days a year. New and smart buy specials updated daily. HicksandHasIt.com. Everything you want. Hicks and Has It.
Hicks and Automotive Group is a proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
Summer's in full swing, and so's all the great fun that goes along with it. And at the Heart of Louisiana Credit Union, you can kickstart your fun with boats, ATVs, and RV loans for as low as 3.99% APR with member loyalty discounts. Don't miss out on these incredible rates. Get the most out of your summer with a great loan rate and member loyalty discounts from Heart of Louisiana Credit Union. Visit heartcu.org or call 473-4562. Heart of Louisiana Credit Union. Member NCUA.
It's different from the start at the credit union with a heart. The Heart of Louisiana Federal Credit Union. The credit union with a heart.
Heart of Louisiana Credit Union is a proud sponsor of On Point Talk.
Amerigroup has a new look. We have a new logo, new colors, and our focus on real solutions in healthcare is now loud and clear. Solutions that help people with challenges get the care they need. The very young. Solutions that help people with disabilities live more independently. In other words, our look may have changed, but our heart is still in the same place. Amerigroup, real solutions in healthcare.
For more information about Amerigroup Real Health Solutions, 1-855-229-6848 or www.myamerigroup.com/LA.
Amerigroup, another proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
Of Oils Parish invites you to vacation close to home. Come learn in our museums, enjoy annual festival fun, recreate at our golf courses, and choose from fine dining or casual home cooking. Your hotel room or bed and breakfast experience is waiting for your reservation. Of Oils Commission of Tourism invites you to stay and play in Of Oils Parish. For more information on Of Oils, call 800-833-4195 or www.traveloforoils.com or plan your Louisiana travels at louisianatravel.com.
Vols Tourism Commission is a proud sponsor of the official OPT Network with Carlette Christmas.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Rennie, your jacket is huge.
It's my flavor jacket. Whatever you're craving, I got it. You want a chili dog? I'll give you a good deal.
I'm good, man. McDonald's Dollar Menu and More has plenty. Like a tasty McChicken sandwich for just $1.
Okay, how about this pocket right here? Nachos.
Nah, I can always score a juicy McDouble burger for a great price.
Sounds like the Dollar Menu and More's got everything.
Yep, even better. Doesn't come in some dude's jacket.
From savory to sweet, the Dollar Menu and More has your back. There's something for everyone to love at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary.
You're listening to On Point Talk with Carlette Christmas.
The Bigger Show and
the official OPT Network. Our goal is to encourage, uplift, and enlighten you. One conversation at a time.
This is an OPT Pearl of Wisdom with Reverend Joe S. Green, sponsored by Attorney Chris Roy Jr. of the Roy Law Office. Attorney Chris Roy Jr. has been serving the people of Central Louisiana with passion, diligence, and expertise since 1989. For more information about Attorney Chris Roy Jr., the number to phone, 318-487-0991.
This is Joe Green from the Joe Green Leadership Institute in Alexander, Louisiana. Again, have a thought with my friends On Point Talk about today. We want to look at success. Many of us think success is what people have told us, but the truth is success is in life depends upon the three I's: integrity, intelligence, and industry. If you find his place, if we find our place, it fuels the person that to become a successful man. We have to find our niche in life. And keep in mind, as we work through this, our integrity is who we are when nobody is looking. Our intelligence is what God has put in us. And our industry is how we apply that to work. Now, keep this in mind for me. All men are intelligent, but not all men are intellectual. So if we find our intelligence, what God have put in us, we will discover that knowledge is what's known, the apprehension of facts in the mind, and wisdom is the application of facts in life. And that's where our intelligence comes. So be intelligent, be hard, be successful, work hard, watch God bless you, and nobody can stop you from becoming who God created you to be. Have a good day.
Are you purchasing or building your first home? Refinancing, investing? At Magnolia State Mortgage, meeting specific needs with the right products and services is our commitment. Whether you're looking for flexibility, stability, easy qualification, or competitive interest rates, the ladies of Magnolia State Mortgage will guide you through the process that will make home ownership a reality. From the first-time home buyer to the seasoned pro, Magnolia State Mortgage is committed to making the entire process as easy and stress-free as possible. For more information on how to get your new home financed, the number to phone is 318-561-8020.
Magnolia State Mortgage, watch what we can do. Magnolia State Mortgage,
you got somebody working for you.
I am today's car buyer. I'm internet educated, double talk liberated. My credit is not suspect. My trade-in's not a reject. I don't need to negotiate, tolerate, or even hesitate. My goals are clear. I know what I want and what I want to pay. I refuse to be sidestepped, sidelined, or sideswiped by hidden charges and unexpected fees. I am today's car buyer, and I only deal with Walker. It's never been truer. When other dealers won't, Walker will.
Walker Automotive Group, another proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
The HP Long Urgent Care Clinic in Pineville is now open. The Pineville location also offers a specialty clinic, medicine clinic, and pharmacy services. It is located just steps from the Huey P. Long Medical Center. The Urgent Care Clinic treats uninsured and Medicaid patients with minor injuries and illnesses, joining our clinic in Alexandria on Upper 3rd Street. For more information, call 769-LONG. That's 769-5664. HP Long Urgent Care Clinic, a service of Rapides Regional Medical Center.
Be Unique Hair Salon specializes in your total hair care needs, caring for the scalp and teaching every client how to maintain a head filled with healthy hair. At Be Unique Hair Salon, our stylists recognize each client's uniqueness and individuality that demonstrates your own personal swag. If you're looking for unique hair and unique hair experiences, Be Unique Hair Salon is located at 1771 Elliott Street, Suite B in Alexandria, Louisiana. Phone for an appointment Tuesday through Saturday, 318-442-7204. Be Unique Hair Salon, another proud sponsor for On Point Talk.
You're listening to On Point Talk with Carlette Christmas,
the bigger show, and
the official OPT Network. Our goal is to encourage, uplift, and enlighten you one conversation at a time.
Hey, everybody. Good morning and welcome back to the OPT Network. Well, you know what Fridays are. They're Real Women, Real Talk Friday. And I'm going to tell you what, we have been prayerful about this morning's conversation. It encompasses so much. And this is what I want to say before we introduce our guest this morning, that we want this to become a zone of non-judgment, where you just listen with your whole heart, where you listen openly, and you don't condemn or you don't judge. And with that said, let me introduce our guest this morning. Her name, of course, is Sarah Jakes. She's a businesswoman, writer, speaker, and media personality. She currently oversees the women's ministry at the Potter's House of Dallas, a multicultural, non-denominational church and a humanitarian organization led by her parents, Bishop T.D. Jakes and Mrs. Sarah Jakes. Sarah is also the author of Lost and Found, Finding Hope in the Detours of Life. Sarah, good morning and welcome to the OPT Network.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. So, Sarah, I want to get right to it. I know you talked about your blog being the impetus for Lost and Found. But this morning, I'd ask you to take a step and go even deeper on why you decided to invite the world into a place and into a time that was filled with so much emotion.
Well, you know, I felt like I couldn't tell half the story. And if you have a chance to read Lost and Found, you'll see that there were other people, so many other people involved in my process, that I felt like if I told half the story, or, you know, told only the parts that made me look good, that it would be such a disservice, one, to people whose story is that truth. And to myself, I didn't want anyone else to be able to tell my truth. And so I did. I put it out there, and it was a frightening and scary, but at the end of the day, liberating. I wrote yesterday that if you don't own your truth will own you.
Mm.
And so I took the opportunity to tell my version of events.
And so when you decide in this metaphorical birthing process of telling your truth, how does the conversation look and feel with your parents when you say to them, I am going to write this story of my life?
They had no idea. My father didn't read the book until it was in galley copy. They trusted me. I had been blogging up until then. They knew that I had learned so much from the things that I went through that they didn't, like, police what I put in the book. They gave me the freedom to really write it as I experienced it and how I learned from it. And so when I put it out, I was anxious to see, hear my father's response, because I know it is so transparent. And he called me and he told me it was flawless. And that meant so much to me, because he, you know, when he first got on Twitter, he goes, I don't understand why you guys want people to know what you're doing all day. And then he became addicted to Twitter. But he's very much so from that, you know, what goes on in this house stays in this house generation. And then my generation is, you know, gone the exact opposite. And so I was nervous that my mother and he would maybe feel like it was too much exposure, but they have both been incredibly supportive.
And so what did Mom say when she read the book?
Oh, she's still very weepy about it. Like, she can hardly talk about it without crying. But she called me brave and courageous and told me that she wished that she would have had that courage to really just, you know, put herself out there. But I think that it's honorable for her to see so much of herself in me, and then to see that part helping so many people.
Wow. And so as you begin this journey as a young girl, many people have peered into your lives. And as I read the book from cover to cover, I said to many people, very few people in this world, even kids and adults who are PKs, can understand the magnitude of what becoming pregnant and birthing a child at 14 is like on a national stage. Talk about that moment.
Yeah, I got pregnant at the age of 13 and had my son, and I was, at the time, had no other concept of trouble beyond, you know, missing a homework assignment or maybe not doing great on a test. And so my initial reaction was to be afraid of, you know, I'm in trouble. What are my parents going to say? I'm in trouble. And it wasn't until my sister wrote a letter and revealed the pregnancy to them that I realized that it was so much bigger than being in trouble and getting grounded, that I was bringing a life into the world, and that there's a certain responsibility that comes with that. And obviously, you know, my parents were devastated and disappointed, and no one imagines that their child is going to have a baby at the age that I did. But ultimately, they didn't allow that disappointment to let their love waver. And some kind of way, through tears, they were able to support me.
And so let's rewind a little bit, Sarah. You talk about your sister Cora. You and Cora are very close in age, and many thought maybe that you guys were twins. And so how does the conversation with you and Cora happen, and when does she decide that she is going to be the one to write the letter?
Well, because we were so close, I told her the moment that I suspected that I was expecting. And I had that initial freak out with her. And then in our childlike minds, you know, started concocting plans. Do we run away? Do we start saving money? And the days turned into weeks, weeks into months, and eventually, you know, we hadn't saved any money. We didn't have a plan on running away. And so my sister wrote a letter anonymously and placed it in our home's mailbox, but because we didn't actually receive mail to our address and my mother recognized her handwriting, she knew that it had come from within the house. And so, of course, at that age, I was upset. You know, how could she betray me when we were still figuring things out? But now that I look back on it, it was such a wise decision. I needed prenatal care. Neither of us were mature enough to handle that alone. And so I really respect and admire the fact that she placed my health in front of our friendship.
Hmm. And what was her reaction, Sarah, when you told her, I think I'm pregnant?
Oh, goodness. Cora isn't the type of person who freaks out in a way that makes you feel like you're going to really be in trouble. She grew up playing with baby dolls. So when I was 13, she was 14, and she has this beautiful collection of lifelike baby dolls. And so she felt like it was just going to be another addition to her baby doll collection, and we would be okay. She wasn't angry. She wasn't upset. We're very much so partners in crime. So she didn't leave me out there on my own. I slept in her bed, I think, for weeks and weeks and weeks. But she wasn't upset.
Hmm. And so going forward, who tells Dad?
My mother told him once she received the letter, and we, from that point, had a family meeting. They asked me, was it true? I told them that it was. And for hours and hours to this day, all I remember is silence. I remember, you know, making eye contact. I remember there being tears. And I say often that whenever you render a preacher silence, that you've really done something. And so I knew that in that moment that it was so much bigger than I could comprehend. And then after the silence, you know, they wanted to know, what do you want to do? What are your plans? Have you thought about that? Do you want to keep it? Are you going to give it up for adoption? Like, what do you want to do? And then from there, they were able to help guide me through the process.
And then there was a time in the book where, in your inner sanctum, your circle of young girls and friends, that one of the girls says to you, Sarah, you know that you don't have to deal with this. You had two decisions that you could choose. Talk about that moment.
Yeah, a friend of mine told me, you know, this doesn't have to change your life. You could have an abortion and move on and, you know, have a regular life like the rest of us. And, you know, I understood that was one of my options from the very beginning, but I just felt like I could do it. I'm not sure why I didn't have this huge maternal or nurturing gene at 14, but there was something in me that felt like I could and that I would rise to the occasion. And my father told me, you know, you can beat this, but you'll have to hit the ground running.
Hmm. And so I want to go back even further, Sarah, because one of the things that I felt reading the book, and you tell me if this is true, is I felt that after you guys left Virginia in the safety, nestled position that you lived in the community, and you moved to Dallas, and you almost go, your family almost just rises so quickly in this ministry. The first Sunday, I think they say 1,500 people in the book joined the church. So it is a literal meteoric rise. I mean, it happens so quickly. And then I found and felt that there is a little girl there who is saying, please look at me. Please take notice of me.
Certainly. I mean, it grew so fast. I don't think any of us anticipated the growth the church would experience and what that growth would mean. Because we did know everyone in our church in West Virginia, now we're in Dallas. And, you know, people have ulterior motives, and they want to get close to your family. And, you know, you just think that they want to be your friends. And if they do get close to you, they want to know, where do you fit? Are you a singer? Are you going to be the next preacher? You know, who are you going to be? And at a time when you don't know who you are yourself, there's an incredible amount of pressure to kind of define yourself before you've really been able to learn who you are. And so I knew that although I didn't have many noticeable church talents, that people were still drawn to me. And I wrote in Lost and Found that a leader without direction is dangerous, because I was placed in a space where I was considered a leader but really had no idea who I was. And therefore, I tried to make it up as I went along.
And so in that, I felt like the enemy, because you didn't have what you call those tangible or those noticeable gifts and talents, that the enemy worked to infiltrate your little spirit at a very early age to steal that thing that God had for you. I want you to talk about that moment when you really understood that you did have gifts and talents, but maybe they weren't singing, maybe they weren't preaching, but you did have something, a supply that not only your dad's ministry needed, your parents' ministry needed, but that the world needed.
Honestly and truly, I did not have that feeling until I started my blog. I felt that way for most of my life, and I only started my blog maybe 4 years ago. So that's why the growth that has occurred is so incredible, and I'm still adjusting to it, because I spent more time thinking that I didn't have anything than I have really spent walking into it. And when I started blogging, it was quite selfish in nature, because I was just venting. And then millions of people started logging onto this blog to see what I was saying and how I was healing and growing through that. But it took many, many years before I discovered that I had something to offer the body of Christ.
Wow. We're going to get a break here, Sarah. But when we come back, I want to talk about that moment when the pregnancy was exposed to the church, what you felt, and how you made it through. Stay on point, everybody. This is an incredibly important conversation, a great book, and you don't want to miss it. We're back right after this.
Southern Heritage Bank wants to welcome home our veterans and thank them for their service. If you have served in the military and are interested in obtaining a VA loan, the mortgage department at Southern Heritage Bank is ready to assist you. VA loans do not require a down payment or private mortgage insurance. They also have great rates, which lowers the payments, making your new home more affordable. Let Southern Heritage Bank serve you. Call Johnny Snow at 443-2799 or visit shbnet.com. That's shbnet.com.
An equal housing lender.
Southern Heritage Bank is a proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
Last night, I signed my first $1 million contract.
My baby made it to the pros.
Yeah, when the house party went on until morning, I made Mom happy by buying everyone McDonald's dollar menu at breakfast.
Not only is he talented, he can spot a wise investment.
When you can afford anything you want, you only buy what you love.
McDonald's dollar menu at breakfast with great tasting options like McCafe coffee, sausage burritos, and the sausage McMuffin sandwich. There's something for everyone to love at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary.
Whether you're traveling north or south on Highway 71, Davis One Stop is centrally located in the heart of Cheneyville.
Davis One Stop offers a full-service grocery store with fresh meats and a local butcher for the absolute finest cuts. And if that's not enough, for your convenience, there's a cafe and a gift shop where the service is great, the people are friendly, and the store is always clean. Davis One Stop. Everything you need, every time you shop.
Davis One Stop is a proud underwriting sponsor of the official OPT Network.
Darrell's is an auto service specialist that you can trust and rely on. With over 35 years of experience, no repair is too large or too small. Darrell's Auto Service provides A to Z repairs on domestic and foreign vehicles. When it comes to service and repairs, Darrell's Auto Service is where customers feel safe, sending their family and friends. Darrell's Auto Service, member ASA. Darrell's Auto Service is conveniently located at 6304 Masonic Drive. The number to phone is 318-443-5741. Darrell's Auto Service, another proud sponsor of On Point Talk.
Creating opportunities and leveling the playing field for all citizens are critical to ensuring Alexander's social and economic sustainability. The City of Alexander Diversity in Action program was created to assist small, emerging, and minority and women-owned businesses by providing the resources and the network they need to become competitive and successful. Diversity in Action works with MPE, WPE businesses, coordinating businesses with startup, coaching, and entrepreneurial assistance such as capacity building, providing access to capital, and more. If you are an MPE, WPE business, Diversity in Action can assist your business through the Close the Gap mentoring program, designed to bridge the gap between potential failure and success in a small emerging businesses program. Diversity in Action is a free service working with businesses removing obstacles to success for anyone who is willing to work hard and diligently. Get started today. 318-449-5107. That's 318-449-5107. Or go to www.diversityinaction.org.
Diversity in Action is a proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
You're listening to On Point Talk with Carlette Christmas.
The Bigger Show and
the official OPT Network. Our goal is to encourage, uplift, and enlighten you. One conversation at a time.
Just a moment. Hey, everybody. Good morning and welcome back to the OPT Network. It's Real Women, Real Talk Friday. We're doing it just a little bit differently. Our guest this morning is Sarah Jakes. Her book is called Lost and Found, Finding Hope in the Detours of Life. And Sarah, before we went to break, we were talking about the pregnancy at 14 years old. Then you finally, I guess the church begins to hear the rumors. Your stomach begins to grow. You can no longer hide the fact that you are pregnant. What happens and what goes through your mind and the mind of your family as you have to sit now in adult church at 13/almost 14 years old pregnant?
I wanted to hide. I wanted to melt into the pews. My parents didn't make this announcement that, you know, our daughter is pregnant. So there was a rumor, but, I mean, they didn't know until my stomach started growing, and even then my father didn't say anything. I remember Bishop Watkins, who's like my father's spiritual father, came in to guest speak, and he made a statement like, you know, our children do the same things your children do, yours just don't get caught kind of thing. And I felt like it was him kind of defending me slightly. But I wanted to melt. I didn't want to bring any attention to myself, and I couldn't help it because I had this stomach growing. So when I was about 7.5 months pregnant, the doctor put me on bed rest, and I was grateful. Even though my health was in danger at that point, I would have rather been on bed rest and health in danger than sit in the pews and feel judged. I knew they were staring. I could only imagine what they were thinking and saying, and so I started preparing myself for the worst, calling myself names, you know, like you're a hoe, you're a slut, you know, whatever the statistics were, and, you know, just running those through my head constantly so that if I ever overheard it in a conversation, it wouldn't scare me, it wouldn't frighten me, because I already knew those things about myself. And so when you begin to feed yourself a constant diet of that, it affects your self-esteem. And I dealt with that low self-esteem for many, many years, you know, trying to overcome the fact of what I felt other people would think about me and my mistakes.
Was there ever a time, Sarah, when you were able to share those insecurities, at least with your mother, and say to her, this is how I'm feeling, these are the fears, these are the uncertainties, these are the concerns?
I didn't share it with them. I felt like I had already put them through the pregnancy, that I didn't want to tell them that I was still struggling. And so I tried to become tough and deal with it on the inside, and I would figure it out, you know, on my own, process those feelings and emotions on my own. But I didn't want to put any more stress and weight on them than I already had. And although they said, you know, we forgive you, we love you, and they were supportive, I personally felt like, you know, you've already done this one thing. Don't add anything else to it.
Wow. What a weight for a young girl to carry. And let me ask you this. Do you feel like your dad should have defended you more, or do you think that his silence was appropriate? How did you feel about that?
I would have preferred the silence. I do prefer the silence, because I felt like had he said something, it would have been even more attention, you know? And so I love the fact that he was silent. And I also love, my father never spoke about my pregnancy. When Malachi and I, after I had him and came into service, my father said, I'd like to welcome my daughter and my grandson Malachi back into the service. And we stood and sat down, and that was literally all he said until I blogged about it, you know, 4 years ago. He never shared my story. He never used it in his own ministry. He really allowed me to grow into a point in which I was ready to share it. And I really, really do appreciate him doing that, because I see so many preachers' kids whose, you know, their stories are placed in front of the congregation, and then they're able to be judged, you know, a spotlight shown on them. And I think, you know, what Bishop Watkins said is true. We all have something. And, you know, the members aren't always on stage explaining their something, but so many of them, like the pastor, is required to share their something, and my father didn't cave to that pressure.
Did you understand it at that moment, or did it take time?
I understood at the moment that he felt like it wasn't their business. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I didn't understand how much safety and protection was in it. I just know that he felt like this is our family business. It's private and personal, and that was that. I didn't know that he was waiting for me to feel comfortable enough to share it on my own, or for me to grow into a point where I felt like it could help other people. I just know that in that moment, he felt like it was protection.
And then you talk about the church, Sarah. You talk about, almost in a rebellious way, that the church and the church people and what you felt from the church. And then you started very, very early running from that. Talk about that.
Well, I think that there are a lot of creative souls within the church that often fear that they will be rejected because of tradition. And because I knew so well that I didn't fit, I didn't think that there would be any space to break the tradition as we saw it. And I saw so many people, not just myself, that started off in the church and maybe started to question themselves, or, you know, wanted to add something to the ministry, and someone, you know, in position or leadership saying, you know, oh, we're not going to do that. That's too young. That's too new. That's too much of the world, you know. And so instead of the rejection of that caused them to go into the world and offer that gift into the world, and then sometimes in dangerous ways find a release where they felt like they had the freedom to be themselves because they weren't accepted in the pews. And you see so many people kind of fall off as you're growing up, especially when we become of the age where it is our decision whether or not we go to church. And you start seeing people coming less and less and finding acceptance in other places. And I felt like it's such a disservice when we truly have been called to love. And I think that we don't always show that love. And in the church's defense, I think that we judge them as well. We assume that they're going to be judgmental. We assume that there's no place. And we create a line in the sand that doesn't have to exist if we would at least be open enough to communicate those fears to one another. Why can't we be creative? Why does the tradition work? And I believe that there's a balancing act that must occur.
Now, as you get through the pregnancy and you bring Kai into the world, with all of the challenges, that happened during the process. This is a question that I had, and I respectfully understand why you have not talked about, well, I don't know if I understand why you have not talked about Kai's dad. And this is the question. Is it fair that girls have to wear that sort of proverbial scarlet letter and the boy or the young man is left to pursue his life? And you said very poignantly that he was young as well and that you wanted him to be able to move on with his life. Is that fair?
Well, it's the reality is that I think that it is assumed that the woman carries the scarlet letter, but I think that the fathers involved have their own scars as well. I think because we birthed the child that ours are more evident. But I know even with Malachi's father that you don't just get over it. He doesn't just get off with a clean slate, that there is an emotional toll that occurs and a process that he has to go through and heal and grow from. And that's why I didn't share much about him, because I think he's still coming to grips with that, and I wanted to be respectful of his process.
Wow. That is amazing.
Thanks.
Where does that heart come from, Sarah? I mean, you know, that you weren't angry, that you weren't resentful, that you weren't all of the things that you could have been.
I think I was so focused on surviving that I didn't have time to dive into those feelings. It's not that they, you know, maybe they were there, but I just knew I had to take care of Kai. I had to go to school. I had to, when I dropped out of college, like, I had to provide for him. I was so caught up in surviving that I didn't have time to really dwell.
Hmm. And so you knew that you had to hit the ground running. You were very, very gifted, very smart student. You graduate early, and then you move into another dimension called college, because for a long time, what people may or may not know is that you all were homeschooled. You go to a private school, but not a very big school at all, and then you go into the world. But you go into the world still having a sense of not wanting to be noticed as Bishop Jake's daughter, or not being labeled as Bishop Jake's daughter. And so you still end up moving, instead of closer, further away from that thing that will ultimately become your stability. Talk about that.
Yeah, when I was in college, I mean, no one really cared. You know, you're walking around on campus. It's not like it was before, like, Twitter really was popular. Facebook was kind of emerging, but there wasn't a way to really spread a rumor very quickly. And so when I got there, I really got to just be Sarah. And that was the first time that I really had the freedom to do that. There wasn't, you know, like, security walking you around the church, and, you know, you're not walking around with your sister. Usually if you see my siblings and I together, you kind of can figure it out. My little brother looks just like my dad. My sister looks like my dad. I look, you know, like a cross of the two. And so when we're all together, people kind of can figure, oh, you guys look like the Jake's kids, but I'm there on campus on my own, and I just got to be me.
Sarah, let's get a break here, but when we come back, we'll have more of the incredible story of lost and found, finding hope in the detours of life. Sarah Jake has penned it. Her dad has penned the foreword, and let me tell you, it is an incredible, incredible book. Stay on point, everybody. We're back after this.
Jezebel wasn't born with a silver spoon in her mouth. She probably had less than every one of us. But when she knew how to walk, she knew how to bring the house down. She wins with her hands down. Jezebel, what a belle, looks like a princess in her new dress. How did you get that? Do you really want to know? She said it would
wanna shine. Every winter was a war, she said. I want to get what's mine.
Part of the minimally invasive image-guided specialist healthcare vision is to make sure our patients receive the best service possible. MIGS doctors are dedicated to performing interventional radiology procedures, concentrating on a patient-centered service that focuses on performing procedures in the shortest amount of time possible. Interventional radiology is a selection of advanced techniques that use imaging equipment to treat a variety of illnesses. Interventional radiologists are physicians who specialize in these minimally invasive, targeted treatments. Minimally invasive image-guided specialist, MIGS, is at 3704 North Boulevard, Alexandria. Call 318-445-9700.
MIGS is another proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
I'm worried about Tim.
What's wrong?
He's out of work, we don't have health insurance, and he needs to go to the doctor, but it costs too much.
Christus Cabrini Hospital opened the Incarnate Word Community Clinic just across the street from the hospital.
Really?
Yeah, it has a primary care and a specialty clinic, too. Mary went and got great care. She doesn't have insurance either.
I'm calling right now.
Incarnate Word Community Clinic on Masonic Drive. Uninsured patients and those covered by Medicaid or Medicare welcome. Call 448-6800 for an appointment.
Cabrini Hospital is a proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
Sylvia's Caring Companion serves 15 parishes throughout Central and South Louisiana, providing the best direct care 24 hours per day, 7 days per week, to individuals who are physically, mentally, and functionally impaired. Our services include eating, bathing, dressing, grooming, transferring, walking, and all of your other activities of daily living. Sylvia's Caring Companions promotes the highest quality of life possible, whether it's in the client's home or in a community environment. Sylvia's Caring Companions. People care by caring people.
Sylvia's is owned by CEO Darlene St. Romain. For more information, phone 318-346-2540.
Sylvia's is a proud sponsor of the official OPT Network.
I have a name. It's not occupant.
Or 38.
Nine.
I'm a person, not a number.
And sometimes
I need to talk to someone who's listening to me.
There are 24 hours in my day.
I want a company
to be there when I need them.
At State Farm, we get to know you and know how you want to be treated. Like a real person with real concerns.
Finally. My kind of insurance company.
Your on-point good neighbor State Farm agent in Alexandria is Rosa Fields, 318-487-1881 or 4304 South MacArthur Drive. Your on-point good neighbor State Farm agent in Avoyelles Parish is Kyle Wolf, 318-346-6695 or 1109 Shirley Road in Bunkie. Wood Forest Bank is a community bank built upon the needs of the customers they serve. Wood Forest Bank is committed to earning customer loyalty by offering the highest level of customer service, as well as competitive products and services by employees who are fair, responsive, and professional. Wood Forest Bank, another proud underwriting sponsor for On Point Talk, the official OPT Network.
It started out like a totally normal day.
I love you.
I mean, I guess I was a little sweaty, and I was definitely sore. I thought I had gas. Turns out, I was having a heart attack. Heart disease is the number one killer of American women. So now I take care of myself and tell the other women in my life to do the same. Make it your mission to save your life and the lives of the women you love. Find out more from the American Heart Association at goredforwomen.org.
On Point Talk is a proud sponsor of Go Red for Women and the Central Louisiana American Heart Association.
You're listening to On Point Talk with Carlette Christmas,
the bigger show, and
the official OPT Network. Our goal is to encourage, uplift, and enlighten you one conversation at a time.
Hey, everybody. Good morning and welcome back to the OPT Network. Sarah Jakes is our guest. The book is called Lost and Found, Finding Hope in the Detours of Life. And I have to admit, Sarah, when we got the book, it came across
our desk, I said, okay, a quarter of a century old, 25 years old, what in the world could she have to write and call it her memoirs? But I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't feel like your dad had written the book because I could feel so much of your heart in your story. And so I thought that was incredible.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Someone tweeted me and was like, I wonder how much of this book you actually wrote. And I was like, you know, that's unfair because if you really read the book, no one else could have written it but me.
Exactly. And you know what? Those are critics that didn't read the book. And you can't just read the book. You got to read the book from cover to cover.
Yeah. Thank you.
And so, Sarah, you go off to school. Now, what is the agreement with your parents about Malachi? And what will happen as you go off to college?
Well, at the time, I wasn't living on campus, so he was in daycare. And, you know, I didn't even have my license when I started college. And so my mother would take Kai to school, drop me off at college, and then, you know, pick me up, and we'd go get Kai. And then when I received my license, I assumed the responsibility of taking him. But at the point that I started struggling in school, my parents said, you know, well, maybe you need to buckle down and be on campus and, you know, we'll keep him. And then on the weekends, you can come home and take care of him until you get through this patch. And so my sophomore year, they helped me with him during the week while I went to school.
Hmm. But things got deeper as you got to college and as you got more familiar with being, I guess, out of the limelight, out of the eyes of the prying world. Things changed for you, didn't they?
They did. I think that I was a little bit too excited to be on my own and to not have that tie. And with that freedom came the liberty for me to kind of express myself in any way I felt. And then to meet someone who accepted my flaws at the time was very liberating for me. But I realized in hindsight that, you know, he didn't care who I was, which means he really didn't care who I was.
Mm.
And what that meant to my heart and to our relationship was detrimental.
You got to say that again. He didn't care who you were, so he didn't care who you were?
Yeah, he didn't care who I was, so he didn't care about who I was and, you know, what I brought and offered. It was so much bigger than him not caring about my last name. You know, there wasn't a lot of care in total. And there was safety in that for me because I thought it was just my last name. But I didn't realize, you know, your last name is who you are. So you can't be with someone who doesn't care about who you are.
But for some reason, you found that appealing.
I did.
And then
after years and years of people caring, you know, and it being the one thing that mattered to people, whether that was in church or if they found out, you know, in a grocery store or when you were on the road, like to finally have someone who didn't care meant a lot to me.
Mm. And so you start dating the gentleman or the man who ultimately becomes your husband, but not without a lot of turmoil. And I ask the question, winding forward, because you got to get the book to really understand the totality of everything that happened. But I said to you during the break that you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew in your deep down in your knower, even though you weren't necessarily walking with God, you had enough of the word hidden in your heart that you knew that this is not who you were supposed to marry. But yet you did it, and you did it in pomp and circumstance. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think I felt like I think he was an incredible distraction that kept me from really focusing on myself. And as long as I was, you know, working on him and fixing him and I was dealing with another woman and dealing with infidelity, that I didn't have to focus on the part that I was bleeding. I was hurting on the inside long before our relationship. And it became a distraction until it broke me and ultimately forced me to really face myself.
Do you remember that moment, Sarah? That very moment when you had to face yourself?
I did. I had been married at the time for almost 2 years. And my husband was expecting a child with another woman. And I was so angry with God. because I got married and, you know, I had this white picket fence and a successful husband and everything that I felt like was supposed to fix the fact that I had this teen pregnancy, but I was still hurting and still broken and I was bitter. And I decided one day they were looking at my ex-husband and his and the other woman were looking at a sonogram picture, and they were, you know, she's beautiful, talking about the baby and smiling. And I realized that I was the only one that was upset, that I was the only one who seemed to really have this pain, and that I didn't want to be the only one broken when I felt like I didn't do anything. And so it was from that moment that I decided to really start working on myself.
You know what I think is so incredible, Sarah, especially from somebody who has grown up hearing about God, hearing about the scripture, knowing how your parents feel about God, knowing the relationship that he has, your parents have wanted you to have with God, that you can say, I'm pissed off. You didn't say it, I say it. I'm pissed off at God, you know, because I expected more.
Absolutely, but I think we create our own battles and then ask God to defend us. But in the reality is he never put us in that situation. And so I really had to do some heart searching myself to figure out, you know, like, why are you upset with God when God didn't do this? You did this. And if you want God to truly fix this, you're going to have to humble yourself enough to say that I was wrong. And, you know, for me, that humbling meant that I had to publicly make another, you know, church, break another church rule. And that was in my decision to file for divorce.
And so when you came to that decision, what goes through your mind? I can remember in the book you talk about your dad's 35th anniversary. It's going to be a huge celebration, a lot going on. But you're at that moment, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then what happens through the process?
Yeah, we went through the 35th anniversary, which was like the beginning of June, and then there's Father's Day, and then actually our wedding anniversary is all within that whole month of June. And so I went through all of the celebrations, dinner and gifts and everything, and it was July 4th weekend, and I just couldn't do it, you know. And I said, I don't believe that you've changed. I know that it's me. And I want to really try this over again. I want to really be in a healthy relationship. I really want to heal. And to be honest, I don't want to be speaking to women and pouring into women and wondering how many of them have possibly or will possibly have a relationship with you. And so it really became more about me finding my purpose and wanting to really fully step into that.
But how did you find that, though, Sarah? Because in the book, we see a woman that has put up with so much, and that's being really, really mild. I mean, you have put up with infidelity after infidelity, lie after lie after lie. When do you get to that moment where you find the strength to say, you know what, I'm not going to do it anymore?
I think that I focused so long that he was cheating on me that I didn't realize I was cheating on myself. And
wow.
The more power that I gained when I shared my testimony, and at the time I was really just talking about my pregnancy and really owning that, but the more courage that I came being comfortable in my own skin and not feeling like there was something wrong with me, the more I felt like, you know, maybe you can really be okay, and maybe you don't have to continue to pay for this mistake and allow your self-esteem to be ruined when you really want to be whole. And so I think the turning point really was, it was the blog for me, because I felt like I had purpose outside of just finding text messages and waiting for the next woman, that it was so much bigger than looking great on the outside and dying on the inside. And so I didn't come to the decision lightly. I thought about it for months and months. But the part of it that scared me the most is what people would think about me. And I decided that I didn't want to live my life governed by opinions.
And so do you have a conversation with your mom or with Cora about what you're planning to do? Because now, you know, all of those negative voices in your head are saying probably, okay, you fail again. You
exactly.
lose again. So what is that conversation with that confidant, that person that you know that you know?
It was actually my father, and we were away. We were at Essence Festival, actually, and I hadn't said anything, and, you know, they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know how I was feeling, that I was contemplating it. But my father called me. We had gone to our separate hotel rooms, and we had a little bit of time before our event. And he called me, and he says, I think you need to talk to me. And whenever you're ready, I'm here. And I go, you want to meet downstairs?
And, you're just ready.
We met downstairs, and I just told him everything. I told him everything. And I said, Dad, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And he said, if you want out, if you really want out, you say the word, and we'll do it together. And by that, he meant that he would support me, not that he was going to, you know, have anything happen to Robert at that time. He was kind of upset, but he meant that he would be a strong support system. I actually didn't talk to my mom or sister or anyone. It was my father. And I then had a conversation, told Robert I wanted to talk when I got home. And we sat down with our marriage counselor, and I told him that I wanted to divorce.
And he said what?
He was devastated. Because I think beyond all of the mistakes and, you know, infidelities and reasons that he had given me to leave, that he really did want our marriage to work. As crazy as that sounds, I think that he really did want our marriage to work, and that he thought that he had time to get it right.
And what was your response? Because he had always been able to win you no matter what he did.
You know, I felt sorry for him, and, you know, we prayed together. And, you know, but I was very clear on my decision. I wasn't one of those people who, you know, said, you know, get out 1,000 times and then come back. We'd never separated like that. And so when I made that decision, especially to have our marriage counselor there, he knew I was serious. And so, you know, we made some terms on the separation, and then, you know, I moved forward. I didn't have those days where I felt like I needed to go back, and I knew what I wanted.
So you had enough about yourself, and you had enough that you knew that this is exactly what you wanted.
Exactly.
And so has he read the book, Sarah?
I'm not sure.
Well, everybody, my producer is telling me we are out of time. We want to thank our guest, Miss Sarah Jakes. The book is called Lost and Found, Finding Hope in the Detours of Life. We hope that you'll pick the book up. You can pick it up on Amazon.com. You can go to her website at sarahjakes.com. You can connect with her blog, and you can purchase the book, Lost and Found, Finding Hope in the Detours of Life, at any bookstore. What an incredible, eye-opening conversation. I tell you, so many lessons, so many things to ponder. And, you know, we just want to thank the team at the Potter's House. We want to thank Sarah Jakes' team. We want to thank the OPT team for making this interview possible. But most importantly, we want to thank Sarah for her courage. I'm going to tell you what, if you feel like in life, as we all have, been lost and been found, no matter what your particular situation is, this is a book that is an absolute page turner. Not for the mere voyeurism of another's life, but from the wisdom that comes from such a young woman. It is filled with her thoughts. It's filled with her understanding of where she was, and understanding that that's where she was, but that's not where she had to stay. Again, the book, Lost and Found, Finding Hope in the Detours of Life. You're on point, everybody. It's Real Women, Real Talk Friday. Gotta get a break. We're back after this.